And I want to talk a little bit about that today, but let's first read a scripture. It's the parable of the sower. Let's put that up there. And as I read it, you're going to see pictures up there. Got that, Dave? It's almost there. So it's from Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read this to you, the parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Therefore, hear what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, that's the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed amongst the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So does that picture make sense to you as I read it? Do you see all the little bits and pieces there? So what I want to focus on is the true importance, I believe, of this scripture. It's not what sort of soil you are. The most important thing is, what sort of sower are you? The point of the story is, are you sowing seeds? The soil part's up to God. But for us, the message of this scripture is about, are you someone who sows seeds? Now, if you sow seeds, what percentage of the seeds are going to make it? 25%. But how many seeds do you have to sow to get 25%? That means it could be a 75% failure rate. But you've got to keep sowing seeds. It's up to God who causes the growth. Our job is to sow seeds. So when I talk about sowing seeds, I'm talking, of course, in a parable. How many of you do not regularly go out and sow seeds in your garden? Put your hands up, be honest. Very few of us. Some of you do. My wife tries to, I think. But you know what? And you've done a great job, dear. But it's a metaphor for what? What do you think sowing seeds means in this case? What's a seed? It's a little thing that what? What does it contain? Life. It's sowing life. It's sowing something that brings life. It's something that's very powerful. And as Christians, we have a mandate to be seed sowers in this world. Knowing that it's not always going to be successful, but it still is a mandate. Do you get it? Now, some of us know that this is a calling on our life. So let's look at the next slide here. Who knows that they're called to be an evangelist? I want you to be honest. How many of you know that God has called you to be an evangelist? Put your hand up. Whoa, that's awesome. Can you guys stand up for me, please? I want to pray for you right now. Right. Wow. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that are called to be evangelists. Let's pray for them right now. Lord, I thank you for these people that know they're called to be evangelists. And Lord, I just would bless their ministry. And Lord, that when they sow seeds, it would go into good soil and grow and really produce life. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you that stood up would like to see a few people come to the Lord this year? Put your hand up. Yes, me too. I was praying for myself. I have a real passion to bring life and to see people come into the kingdom. We're having a baptism. Wouldn't it be great between now and the baptism that we lead a few people to the Lord and they get baptized? How long do you have to know the Lord before you get baptized? Anybody know what the decent period of time is? 20 seconds. Thank you. That's good. Not very long at all. So wouldn't it be great if we saw more people come and get baptized? Actually, Barbara and I bought a portable hot tub last week because, you know what, we worked out it's going to be really hard to do baptisms here, but we're going to need it because we're going to do a lot of baptisms in this place. And we'll inflate it down on that concrete down there, but we're going to do it at the lake in the summer. But what are we going to do next month and next month and next month? So we want to have lots of baptisms, amen? Because isn't that what it's about? People coming to know the Lord like that. So who knows that they're called to be evangelists? Well, I've got some news for you. Let's look at the rest. Let's put the next one up. We have this scripture that's a little pesky because Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and he says, do the work of an evangelist. Well, these guys know they're called to be evangelists. Guess what you're called to do? To do the work. So you don't have to be an evangelist. You have to do the work of an evangelist. Ooh, that was a little tricky, wasn't it? So you know you're called to be evangelists. Those people stand up. But that's all right. Great. Go for it. We blessed you and do it. Now the rest of you do the work of an evangelist. Well, when I say that word evangelist, you're probably thinking something like this. Right? Who wants to be like that? And those that stood up, I don't want you to be like that either. We have this negative, very negative concept of evangelism. It's like a Bible-bashing, cross-bearing, basically angry person that's trying to tell people what? What's the message of an evangelist? Come on, be honest. Turn or burn, keep going. Fire and brimstone, what else? Not good enough. Not good enough. You're all going to AT double toothpicks and you know it. That sort of thing. The trouble is, what does evangelism mean? Guess what it means? Good news. Does this look like a good news bearer to you? That's the bad news. I think doing the work of an evangelist is really not a trained person that gets on the pulpit and like some who's some of the most famous, really godly famous evangelists you can think of? Any names you know? Okay, how come that name always comes up number one? Billy Graham. Who else? Jerry Falwell. Who else? Lewis Cole. Lewis Palau. Louis Palau. So we think of these people, Reinhard Bonnke, we think of these people that do great big mass rallies and we think of like an evangelism in that sense. And so when people say, oh, I'm called to be an evangelist, they think of a big pulpit and a big rally. They use the word crusade, which I don't like that, but you might hear that word, you know. And that's why people go, well, I'm not that. I'll never be that. Well, I want to tell you, when Paul said do the work of evangelist, he wasn't really talking about get a big platform, get a big ministry. It's now the, you know, the Randy Tenbrink traveling evangelism show. Yay! And his name's over everything. That's not what he was talking about. Doing the work of an evangelist is not this, and it's also not this big pulpit thing. But I want to talk about what it actually means for you and I. I want to break down some misconceptions. Because, you know, it's a really important thing that we understand that this is the heart of God and this is why the church exists. The church needs to be full of people that are doing the work of evangelism. Let's read this very famous thing. It's called the Great Commission. And can we read it together? Do you think it's possible? And Jesus came and said to them, let's say it together. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It's called the Great Commission. This is, when did Jesus say that? At the end of his ministry, it was the very parting message that he gave his church was this. And this Great Commission is the mandate of the church and therefore the mandate of all of us here. So when Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, he's really backing this up and saying, therefore go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was telling us we need to have a part in that. And yet what I feel that we have a misconception about is really, isn't that what pastors are meant to do? Like ordinary people that come to church, they're not meant to do that, are they? Are you meant to baptize people? Don't you have to go to seminary to baptize people? How many of you have baptized someone? Wow, quite a few. How many of you would be willing to baptize someone? Whoa, good Lord, see that. You know, what I'm trying to break down here is this. Let's go to my next slide here. The Great Commission, which we just read, begins with a statement. It says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying, I have all authority. It doesn't begin with the command to go. It begins with a statement saying all authority. It's founded on the authority of Christ. And you see, when people go out and try and make disciples and try and lead people to Christ, not under the authority of Christ, that's very dangerous. But when we go out under his authority, that makes a huge difference to how successful our sowing is going to go. Do you get what I mean? Because if you go out and you say, you know what, I'm not here telling you because I want you to come to my church. I'm not here telling you about this because I think your life stinks and you need a better life. I'm here telling you under the authority of Christ because do you know what? I know God loves you and the way that you're living without him breaks his heart and he wants you in relationship with him. And I can speak with all authority about that because I know that that's how he is to me. And you are no different from me. The God I serve longs to have a relationship with you and longs to invade your life just like he's invaded my life. And I speak not because my pastor said I have to go out and share with someone. I speak because I know this God is on a mission to rescue people like you. And do you know how I know that? Because I'm a person like you are. And so under the authority of Christ is a really big deal. If I go out going, it's not about me. It's not about me convincing them to believe what I believe. That's not what it is. It's about me talking about the one who has changed me. Going without the lordship of Christ is dangerous. We are to be serving within the world that belongs to him. And this worldview changes everything. You know, I was praying this morning. Do you realize every person in this room was made by God, was thought up by God? Do you realize every human being you will ever encounter was created to be on the earth by God? Do you believe that or not? And rightfully, they should know him and come to know their creator. Do you realize everything that we have in this room, everything that's out there, even the air we breathe, was created by God. All authority has been given to him. He's the rightful ruler of everything. If you really believe that, then everything that you see, everything you touch, every person you meet is connected to God, only they don't know it. And so part of our evangelism is understanding that we never do it on our own. Before you talk to someone, God's already there working in them. Do you believe that's true? God is already active. Like when Kevin and Amy went to the Philippines, they didn't bring Jesus to the Philippines. He was already there. Like every relative you know that doesn't know Jesus, God is already there working. He is already active. This is our belief. So evangelism isn't about you being successful in trying to convince them something. It's about you presenting the truth to them and let God do the work. This is why I said, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And that hand holds not only you, but everything in this world in his hand. So evangelism isn't like, I think some of the reason why people are so afraid of doing this is because they think, well, let's look. This is what they think. Let's see if this is true. Let's go to the next slide here. Facts versus formula. Here we have a picture of a tract. Let's go to the next one here. We often think when it comes to evangelism, you have to study like a booklet. And you have to learn a method, a formula of how to lead people to Christ. Well, do you know what? In the book of Acts, they didn't have booklets or formulas. But what they had were facts. And so here's a fact I want you to consider right now. Evangelism is telling the good news, but it's not telling the good news according to a tract. The good news according to you. Listen, what is the good news for you about having Jesus as your Lord? What is so good about being a follower of Jesus? How many of you are followers of Jesus? Put your hands up. What is so good about it? For you personally. Freedom from what, John? Freedom from your own behaviors. That's a really good one. Who else? What's so good about being a follower of Jesus? Forgiveness from what? What past? Okay, forgiveness. So freedom, forgiveness. What else? Yes, Alyssa. Hope. Hope for what? So you face the future with hope, as opposed to what did you used to face the future with? Nothing, just nothing. Yeah? Okay. What else? Love. Tell me about that. How have you experienced God's love? You experience God's love in every day, in everything you do and everything you say?
I try to.
You try to. So when you focus on the love of God, it transforms you, and things that were impossible to accept, now you can accept. That's one thing you said. So that's really good, Bill. Who else? Life. Tell me about it. Before Christ, after, what's the difference? So Maria works with women that are in, a lot of them in crisis, and when they come to know Jesus, they get a new life, and life begins for them. And they carry life as well, which is awesome. Who else? Someone said something up the back. Relationship. Gary, tell me about that. So your God sounds very personal to you. Very personal to you. So what's happening in here is evangelism. People are telling the good news of what it means for them to follow Christ. Now, did anybody say, nobody said, you have to get on your knees, you have to repent of your sin, you have to go to the cross, you have to, you know, say the prayer. What else is there? Let's go here. See, what they just talked about was facts according to what they've experienced. And there isn't anybody that's going to tell them any different. Is that right? You guys that spoke, is that the fact for you? Is it a fact that you can count on? Absolutely. See, it's fact-based good news. Let's go on. Unfortunately, we've made this into a formula. And people say, well, I can't do evangelism because I don't know the formula. But it's not the formula that transforms people. It's facts. It is the fact that, you know, how I've encountered Jesus and how I've experienced Jesus. This is what being an evangelist is. It's doing that. So I want you in this room right now to turn to someone you're with. And what I want you to do is tell them one good thing that Jesus has done for you. Go for it right now. What is your fact? What's the thing he's done for you? So here's the thing. How do you lead people to Christ? You testify about the facts you know. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. It's not your job to draw them. It's the Spirit. All your job is, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my converters. No. And you shall be my crusaders that say, accept Jesus or accept the sword. No. What does it say? And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. This is from Acts chapter 2. And you shall receive power to be what? My witnesses. You need to stand up and tell the truth. It's time for this church to tell the truth. I am not as good as I'm going to be. That's the truth. Anybody agree with that? My wife really likes that. That is the truth. But I'll tell you what, I've been changed. I have been changed through an encounter with Jesus Christ in many different ways. Have you? How many of you could say, I actually have been changed? Put your hand up. That's what your evangelism is all about, how you have been changed. Let him do the rest. Quit thinking you've got to come, well, come to the front. Let's have an altar call. You know, maybe some of those people we prayed before, that you're right in that wheelhouse, that's great. But as for the rest of us, we do the work of evangelists by testifying, witnessing and telling the truth about how Jesus has encountered us, and I'm not the same. You got that? There's nothing wrong with learning about how to do personal evangelism. I'm not saying that, but I feel like it's been a barrier in the Western church. I feel like it means you're going to go knock on doors with a tract and say, you don't know me. I could be a terrorist. I could be a robber. I'm not, though. I'm a Christian. And here I am to share the good news with you. I just wish that person would share the good news at work, at the shopping center, and tell people, listen, this is what Jesus has done for me. Can I tell you a story? My life used to be like this, now it's that. See, I want to demystify and debunk what you think evangelism is. It's simply telling the truth. You got it? Simply telling the truth. So we had freedom. We had relationship. What else? We had, what do we have in here? Hope. Love. Give me some other words now you've talked. What did you just say? Peace, healing. Anybody else? Discipline. Ooh. Compassion. What about confidence? What about boldness? What about controlling anger? Anybody got that? Obliterating worry. Healing emotional scars. Surviving a disaster. Being born at the right place at the right time. Being born again. Getting a second chance at life. Not letting your past dictate your future. Anybody can relate to any of these things. This is our story. This is what we do. Okay. And this is very biblical. I want to prove it to you. Telling, simply telling, is a very powerful thing. In fact, this is the mission of the church, is to tell the truth that Jesus is alive. We know because he's transformed us. And that's all we're called to do as a church. And it's been from the beginning of time. Who was the first of God's chosen people? Does anybody know? What were they called? The nation of Israel was chosen by God to demonstrate something. Do you know what they are to demonstrate? It's in Genesis chapter 12. They were blessed to be a blessing to all nations. So what was done to them was meant to be done through them to other people. And we are inheritors of that. That's in Genesis 12. But I want you to look at this verse in Exodus, I believe it is. 19. Let me read this. This is the biggest story that we're still a part of. Now, this is in Exodus. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. And after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in it to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then all the nations you will, out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak for the Israelites." So listen, what this is saying is, and this is the mission of God, Israel's history is proof of God's faithfulness to those people. Your story of his encounter in your life is proof that God is a faithful God that changes people. The story has not changed for thousands of years. God has set people in this room free, not from Pharaoh and slavery, but from dominion and power that they had no control over. Is that true? And he carried us, not because we were good, but on eagle's wings. You know what an eagle does? You know how an eagle stirs up the nest? Do you know this? It's written in the Bible. An eagle stirs up the nest. He agitates what's comfortable, and then he pushes them out of the nest, the eagle, and then the eagle comes and swoops and catches them. Now, has anybody experienced God in their life where you feel like God really stirred you up, he pushed you out, and as you stepped out, he came and caught you underneath and held you up? That's how we grow in faith. And that's what happened in Israel. Listen, God is still wanting his people to declare what he's telling them here. You yourselves have, see the word. What's the word? Seen. It's word experience. Know. Know what it is that you've experienced from God and share that with other people. That's what it's about. You know, being a person who loves Jesus, being a follower of Jesus is a privilege. Could you say amen to that? But it's also a responsibility. From the beginning, being chosen of God for the people of Israel was a privilege, but it was also a responsibility. Being loved by God is a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. You see, we who know him, he is calling us and he's calling me to be a person that simply tells what I've seen God do. And people need to know it. Do any of you know somebody that's pretty hopeless right now? Or haven't gone through a hard time? Could be someone in this room. So as the people of God, we're to move towards those people. And I think when you saw that video, you mentioned compassion. That's sort of like going, you know what, I know what it's like to feel alone. I know what it's like to feel like nobody really does love me, or really I have no hope or future, or I have no friends, or I can't break free of the chains. We're to remember. That's why it says here, you yourselves see what I did in the land of Egypt and how I carried you out of that, how I led you out of that. And really in this room, we've got all sorts of stories of how that happened for each one of us. This is what we are to testify about. I want to draw attention. So you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, when you think of an evangelist, I hope I debunked that now, what you think of an evangelist. Now I want to talk about a priest. Is this what you think of when you think about a priest? Does that conjure an image in your mind? When you think about a priest, it's someone wearing a collar, carrying a cross, it's a religious person living a religious life. Well, I want to tell you that that's a modern concept. When God spoke in Exodus, you will be a kingdom of priests, he wasn't talking about the religious life, a holy nation. What he was talking about there is this, a people that he's calling to be holy. And we think of this word holy in the wrong manner too. Most people think they're holy, they're very holy. Holy in the Old Testament simply means set apart or specially selected to be used in service for God. Have you been specially selected to be used in service for God? Yes. Therefore, you are holy. You don't make yourself holy. How do you get holy? By him selecting us and you allowing him to set you apart. Set you apart from what? To be different from what? The world. We are to be different. This is what it means. I want you, my people, to be different from everything that's going around. Simply, well, in fact, the old King James Version said, you are a peculiar people. Oh boy, are you. You know? It means you're a special people, just like the children of Israel were chosen by God to be his priests. We as the church are chosen by God to be his people. We're to be set apart. So we're not to engage in the things of the world like everybody else, but we are people, and now I'm going right back to the Great Commission, who understand, you know what? You might be controlled by politics. I'm controlled by God. My future lies in his hands, not in the hands of any politic or any government, any boss or any employee. My future is in the hand. All authority has been given to him. And therefore, what am I to fear? If God is my God, who can be against me? I think I'm quoting scripture here. You know what I'm saying? So what's happening here is really, that's what makes us different. You might say this, but what does our God say? That makes you different from everybody else. It's something that God wants us to focus on as a people. And why am I bringing this up now? Because we need to be the church without walls. We need to turn the ship around. We need to be people that pursue the mission of God. I have been blessed. You've been blessed to be a blessing to others. It's meant to be in you and then through you. That is what the kingdom of God is about. What God has done in you, he wants to do through you. So how many of you have experienced a physical healing of God? Hands up. He wants that healing to be in you, but through you as you pray for others. How many of you have been set free of lies that you used to believe about yourself? Amen. That's great. He wants that to be in you, but through you. So when you see somebody who's believing lies, guess what? That's your turn to say, I used to think like that. How many of you have been given now direction, whereas before you had no clue where you were meant to be going? Has anybody been ever given guidance like that? Yes. That is for you when you hear people that are seeking that. So what I'm saying is what's happened in you goes through you to other people. This is doing the work of an evangelist. This is what it is to be a kingdom of priests. Because do you know what a priest is? John, will you help me? Can you come and stand up here and stand on your tippy toes? Yeah, really high. Like, the ballet dancers didn't get it from you. Okay. Abby, can you come here? Stand here. I need someone here. I'm going to show you what a priest does. Now, I know, really use your imagination here. Actually, you can sit down, Abby. That's wonderful. So I want you, this guy represents God. So that's why you got to really use your imagination, okay? He represents God, okay? So look like God. Abby represents people. I am a priest. This is what a priest does. Hold my hand. He's in connection with God, and God speaks to his heart. Okay? And then I am in connection with people. And so my relationship is I stand in the gap. This is what a kingdom of priests is. He is always with me. God, is there anything you want me to say to Abby right now? You're not sure yet. God would be sure, though.
No.
Abby, God wants you to know this, blah, 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 right? So that, I'm being a priest. This is what a priest is, right? And here's the other thing. Abby, how you doing?
Okay.
Is there anything you want me to talk to God about for you? I'd be happy to. So she tells me, or I could look, or maybe Abby's not even telling me. I'm going, man, I'm going to pray for Abby. God, I'm going to bring Abby to you. And so do you get what the role of a priest is? What is a priest? It's not a collar and a cross. What is it? Put it in your own words. What do? You stand in the gap between God and the people. That's what he wants us all to be. So when you go to work, can you do this? When you go shopping, can you do this? That's what it means. And you will, thank you, God, you can sit down, you too, Abby. That's what it means to do evangelism. That's what it means to be the church. We are called as a community to stand in the gap, but individually as well. So it's a high calling, it truly is, that that's what we're called to be. And so today, look at this, the next thing here. Together, leaning outward is what we're talking about here. We come together here. We're a kingdom of priests in this room. We practice with one another. If you want prayer today, I'm committed to hang on to God and seek God and speak to you what I feel God's saying. You're welcome to ask me to pray for you as well. But we can do that for one another. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm part of the followers of Jesus. And they all do that. Do you understand? So we gather together, but we're leaning. And I love this word leaning. God, what do you want to give me to give this person? And he might say, just tell him how good I am to you. That's it. Okay, I'm going to do that. It's that simple. And he might say, you know what? They need to be invited for lunch today. Do it. I'll do it. Do you understand? We're getting our orders there. But we're leaning outward. The focus isn't on, gee, I wonder if God wants to bless me today. And we come to church and it's like, me, 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 me. Yes, I feel better. Me, 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 me. And I go home. Me, 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 it's me and Jesus. No, it's leaning outward. Because really, there are three things that I want to introduce. We need to build the church. We need more priests. Zealand, Holland, Granville, Hudsonville, Fenville, wherever we are, we need priests out there living in the community. People need to live next door to a priest. One that goes like this and goes like that. Do you get it? So we need to build the church. We need more of us doing this stuff. Okay, secondly is, God wants us to care for what he's created. We are put on the earth to take care of what he's created. And one thing I know he's created is every person that lives on the earth, even the unborn, right? That is part of God's creation. And we are to show care and for the environment. It's not this rubbish that the whole world's going to burn and we don't need to look after it. No. He says in the beginning there was there's a creation and there's going to be a new creation and we are to care for creation as well. And the third thing we're called to do is serve society. A priest is a servant. A holy nation is a people that's set apart to serve other people. What am I doing here? I'm here to serve others. If you go to school, if you go to work, part of your role, I can tell you without a doubt, is to stand in the gap and to serve however God tells you. Let's stand together. So, Father, I just pray that Without Walls Church can be a people that together lean on you, individually lean on you, and we would fulfill the work of a priest, simply telling them what we know to be true in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. So as I was praying for you today, I felt that the Lord wanted to remind you of what is so good about him to you personally. Of all the things Jesus has ever done for you, what are you most grateful for that he's done for you? What has he done that's really just blown your mind for you? Just want you to bring that to mind right now. I mean, some of you got yourself in so much trouble and he got you out of it. Some of you were trapped in chains and bondage, and he set you free. Some of you were at a point of hopelessness, and he brought hope to you. Some of you were desperately lonely, and he's brought you into community. I just want you to really, in your heart, just think about that right now. Just really, I want to invite you just to relish it in your heart, to really cherish it and say, thank you, Lord. You know, you took me from a little obscure place and, you know, nobody in my family graduated high school. And you chose me, Lord, and you brought me into a very broad place. Lord, I thank you for that. What's your little thank you for that? Lord, I didn't think I'd ever be able to live a life like this, but I am, Lord. Or maybe it's, I never thought I'd ever be free from the reputation I had. Thank you, Lord. Just cherish that in your heart. That's what I felt like the Lord said today. And this is your story, folks. This is your story. It's unique to you, but you know in your knower it's your story. This is yours. Not that I'm going to get you to speak it out, but I am going to ask you to go over there and to write on a post-it what you're just grateful for. And I want you to stick it on that wall right there. There's tons. So go ahead. Start doing it if God's spoken to you right now. Just go write something on there. There's tons of post-its. And just stick it on the wall. Let's have a story. It's like a wall of witness, a wall of testimony, which is wonderful. You can grab...